A bit all over the shop at the moment because I was in Canberra yesterday. That was a lot of fun. And I was speaking at a thing called the National Servant Leaders Forum. And I spoke yesterday morning, and the night before, Friday night, the speakers were Malcolm Turnbull, Julia Gillard, Mike Baird, and Bill Shorten, and Gladys Berejiklian. And then I was on, so I call them my warm-up act, right? So but it was very funny. The MC introduced me and said, "You've heard all these amazing, accomplished people, and now we have John, right?" So it's my pleasure to be a splendid nobody in that place, and talked about leadership and a whole lot of things, and we had a lot of fun actually. It reminded me of, believe it or not, in the last group I was with, Urban Neighbours of Hope, in that work, I was used to travel regularly. I used to travel across Australia to speak and teach, to support and raise awareness of the work of Urban Neighbours of Hope. But those days seem to have passed by. Those were good days because I only needed to prepare one talk and I could do it 50 to 100 times, as opposed to having to do 50 talks once each. So those were the good old days of getting to do it. But I used to catch the plane a lot, and I don't miss that. And some nights I'd get on the plane exhausted and just wanted to get home. And if I ever wanted peace and quiet, if someone was talking to me, I would just say to them, "I'm a minister of the gospel and I love Jesus." Would you like to know? Guaranteed peace and quiet on the plane, right?
And people even moved away.
Yeah, sleep like a baby. Absolutely, it was wonderful. Would you like the seat at the front, sir, away from everybody else?
Yes.
Thanks. Because sadly, when I would say that, most people would assume that it's my job to judge you, to judge people, to make them feel like they don't measure up, to make them feel guilty. And if I can make that guilt somehow somatize and be in their body into some sort of shame, then God must be paying me double time and a half or something. You know? And that's a really sad indictment on the church and on people who claim to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. So, what I would love, wouldn't it be wonderful if we were known for the people that were able to sit and attend to matters of the heart, which really is the heart of the matter. If we look at this, if we listen to the songs we've been singing, that love is the law, it's the fulfillment, this is the end, this is what it's meant to be about, to love and to create the kingdom on a kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. You know, it's not just pie in the sky after you die, but it's something that happens amazing that's here and now amidst us and amongst us in this place. To be able to sit and to invite people away from the anguish of isolation and into community. It's waiting for us, as that beautiful poem that Graham read out so eloquently stated. It's all there for us. And we need to be people who encourage one another to move out in love. And I'm not talking about, when we talked about love, we talk about what love isn't. That's probably a helpful place to start. What love isn't. Love isn't this moving from a place of guilt, moving from a place of inadequacy, moving towards someone because we feel the need to. It's not diminishing yourself so much or allowing yourself to disappear in an interaction to let the other person in. I think we've all been there. I wish I knew that when I was younger, is to say, for me to really love this person, I have to be nothing in this interaction and they have to be everything. How much pain and unnecessary suffering did that cause? That's not what love is. And love isn't demanding of others either. Yeah, I wish this was something that we could all really learn. to make ourselves, to assert ourselves a bit more. You know, sometimes what real love is, love, and it says it in the Brothers Karamazov, real love is active labor and fortitude. I love that quote from the Brothers Karamazov. I haven't read the book, just know the quote, because, you know, sometimes you muck around on the internet a bit. But, you know, real love takes courage. And we read about it and it looks wonderful and we sing about it and it's beautiful, but it takes courage. It takes courage not to lose yourself in an interaction. It takes courage to hold space between two people. Real love actually is the ability to move from guilt to grief sometimes. You know, sometimes in guilt we move towards another in love thinking I should be more loving, I should be more caring. If I'm really going to be a good person, I should. And my wife would often say, don't should on yourself. And, you know, we reach out in a way that's like a chimpanzee trying to grab a cigarette sometimes. You know, it's a pretty ugly kind of thing, and we push people away. Or because of our guilt that's pushing us towards people, we end up becoming so, we diminish ourselves so much. Don't you love it when that buzzing stops? We diminish ourselves so much that eventually the other person takes over our space and we're no longer a human in that interaction. And it gets to the point where one day we wake up and we realise, oh my God, I need to get this person out of my life, and we push them out and we say things like, how demanding were they? Well, whose needs were being met in that interaction? That's us most of the time. Now, real love is able to hold the space between. I've seen that for 16, 17, 18 years with Lisa, a woman I don't honour enough, my beautiful wife. One day, when we were living in flats together, Lisa was, how pregnant were you, darling? 8 months pregnant with Kira. And Kira and Kashama can't be here today. They're with my mum who's visiting with my dad, except mum visited and brought the flu to our house, which was not the best gift. But she's intent on sharing it. And in the flats we were crammed into, you would often hear violence. Not often, but you would hear it. And it was always behind closed doors, and rarely would it spill out outside. But on this occasion, it spilled out. And Lisa ran downstairs, and it was a couple we knew well. And Lisa ran into the middle of the two. And she held her arms up, 8 months pregnant. She held her arms up between the two and she said, stop, stop, both of you stop. Because I love you both. Real love is holding the space. Why I say it sometimes, it's an invitation to move from guilt to grief, is sometimes when we hold the space in an interaction, whenever we do that, we create the opportunity for us to have a meeting, to meet someone, to know and be known. And it's our duty to be able to seek out the uniqueness and the beauty of the individual we are beholding. And it's also our great opportunity and gift to be able to hold a little mirror up, to be able to invite people to look at their own beauty. And unfortunately, some people can't see their own beauty, or they refuse to see it, or they're too ashamed, so they look away. And our contribution then is grief. All we can contribute is our sadness that they cannot see their own beauty that they bring to the interaction. Real love holds its arms out. We've got an icon for that too. Real love is beautiful. At the end of the speaking at the conference, a young man got up and spoke, and he couldn't speak English very well. He stood up in front of 600 people, across young leaders from all over Australia and politicians, and he shared his story, very in a halting, broken English. He said, I came here by boat from Afghanistan, and I had nothing. Anything that I had that was of worth, I sold to make the trip, and they locked me in a detention center while they processed my case, which took 4 years. And he said, in those 4 years, I lost all my self-worth. I lost all sense of hope. I was a broken man. I wasn't even a person. And he said, what changed my life was this one family, this was in Tasmania, this one family came and started visiting me. And they would come in, and then on the second or third week, I realized they were coming in every week to visit me. And I thought, who am I? At that point, he was nothing. But all of a sudden, he was becoming someone again through a human interaction, through a meeting. And then he said, they brought me chocolates one day, and my life was happy again. And he began to dream again, and he began to have hope again, all through the consistent and persistent actions of one family who then said, you aren't nobody. In fact, you're our friend, and we're going to be here for you. And he made that realization slowly over time that there were people here for him and with him and on his side. And his claim was processed, and he was out, and he was beginning the process of becoming a leader himself. What a beautiful story. What a simple yet profound story. That is love, holding space, seeing somebody, inviting them into that space to see themselves and to see you too. That's real love. That takes courage. That takes guts to not lose yourself in that interaction, to not demand something of that or be demanded upon. And that's where hope can be born again.